The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here are your hosts, Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Welcome to Sharks Ice at San Jose. We've got the Sharks taking on the Colorado Avalanche in a game that's rather interesting and emotional tonight. Emotional on the one sense because Alexander Georgiev gets the start against the team that he played for the last couple of years, with Nikolai Kovalenko also looking for his first goal as a Shark against the team he used to play for. But up the other side of the ice, that's what everybody's paying attention to. The return of Mackenzie Blackwood back to the place where he was so beloved by San Jose Sharks fans, players, coaches, and broadcasters. And Drew, before we even get into the game, that's obviously the big story of the day.
Yeah, 100%. It's emotional for the players, without a doubt. Mackenzie, as we've already talked about, did not want to leave San Jose. He loved his time here, loved the team. But as Mike Greer said, played himself off the team by being so good. And Colorado looking for an upgrade in net, but Mackenzie is the guy. It was a surprise to everybody. It hit them hard in Fort Lauderdale when it all came down. Mackenzie was he was nearly in tears because this is a close team. These guys love each other. These guys are very tight-knit. And Mackenzie was one of those guys that was a leader. You know, goaltenders sometimes are funny and flaky. He was funny and flaky in the right ways, and also he was so positive, such an upbeat guy. So, yeah, it's going to be a very tough night for Mackenzie. It's going to be a tough night for Alexander and for Nikolai. I mean, they're going up against your old teams. There's always a lot of emotion involved there.
I do want to stick with one point that Mike Greer was talking about. He basically said that Mackenzie played himself off the team. Now, the outside observer would say, well, that means they're not committed to winning. They don't want him to be good. No, that's not the point. It's where the Sharks are as an organization compared to where Mackenzie is at his point in terms of his compensation.
He's a free agent at the end of this year. Mike Greer brought up, I believe to you, fact of, well, how much money do you want to spend in the crease? And Mackenzie, you were going to have to bump him significantly. You're going to have to term that maybe the Sharks were looking at and going, out on the market, he's going to get a lot more than that. And you don't want to lose a guy to free agency and get nothing for him. Because that, especially a guy that's Mackenzie has played as well as you, it was a business move. But make no mistake about it, it was a hard move for Mike Greer. He goes way back with Mackenzie, back to when Mackenzie first started with the New Jersey Devils. Personally, this was a trade Mike did not want to make. But his job was and is to make the moves that he sees are in the best long-term interest of the San Jose Sharks. And it was hard to do.
So what we're getting at is the fact that when the Sharks get developed to the point where they're going to make a big run, that's when they make a move like that with a goaltender.
Yeah, and this is why Colorado made this move, is because they believe they are one of the teams that can win the Stanley Cup if they get the right guy in the nets. And they got a great one.
So I'm going to stick to goaltending for just one more little segment of this show today, because second period, last game against Winnipeg, puck comes deflected off the ice and smacks Vitek Vanecek. And as I looked at the footage of this, because it happened so fast, we noticed that he went back to the dressing room. We said, I guess he got hit. Then we got the note that he wasn't coming back in the game. But standing right next to him was none other than Drew Remenda in the Sharks TV position between the benches. And my view of the footage shows me that you didn't move. You didn't see a thing. So this came awfully close to hitting you.
Yeah, it just missed me. Yeah, apparently. I looked at the review too. Came across the ice, Logan Stanley knocked it down, and then, or tried to knock it down, and then it deflected it right into Vitek's face. Didn't cut him, but we don't know what the extent of the injury is besides his life. You heard the smack. Shows you though what Dylan DeMello and Stanley are like, class guys. They both asked repeatedly after, how's VTech? And so they were asking Johnny Loeffner, who's beside me. So, yeah, I mean, I think I didn't even see it. And either did VTech, and it just came off weirdly and really unfortunate because he was starting to get into that form that you needed. And he was working his way back from an injury and having, a solid year.
He really has given the Sharks a chance to win just about every time he's been in the Nets. Yeah. This was a game that he really wanted, too, and yes. He was probably scheduled to play because he was in goal for the game against Colorado earlier this season when the Sharks lost here at SAP Center by the score of 4-1. And he was pretty good in the Nets in that game. But when you're facing a team that's as powerful as this Colorado team, it's an awfully tough challenge. Now, the Sharks just played Winnipeg, and they played them stride for stride all the way to the very end. But we have a disturbing trend now. Four straight games that they've allowed two goals in the third period, three of them losses. One of them they hung on to win in St. Louis. But that little fold back, that defensive shell, or whatever you want to call it, is something that they have to break tonight.
Absolutely. 100%. And Danny, to be honest, I don't know the answer to it. I thought we knew the answer to it after the Utah game and after the St. Louis game. You've got to keep skating. You've got to keep playing. But as you said, they played Winnipeg stride for stride. They were solid in that game. I loved their work ethic. I loved how tenacious they were. I liked a ton of their game. And if you want to say, what's your team identity? Well, blueprint that and go do that again. Because that, if you do that, you compete, you're going to be successful more times than not.
What this reminds me of is when a guy's in a goal-scoring slump, the coaches always say, well, he's getting all of the looks. And if he keeps getting the looks, he's going to get the results. Isn't that kind of similar to this?
I hope so. You know, like I said, I'm confused by the third period attitude, maybe, or thought process, or
sense of inevitability.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, like, you know, you kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Geez, we got to make sure we hang on here. Boy, we don't want to lose this lead. And it's happened a couple of times, and then it becomes that it's in your head. You get internal. You get quiet. It's not a good situation. So maybe that's why today Ryan Warsawski had the music going before again, like we did in training camp. Maybe it's, you know, a situation where he's trying to get the guys to be a little bit looser, but still focused.
Well, it's going to change the lineup, obviously. First of all, Alexander Georgiev has never won against the Colorado Avalanche from his career with the Rangers. He's a lifetime 0-2-1, so it's only a couple of games, but he's motivated. Kovalenko, you know, is definitely motivated to have a great game against Colorado. But I'm not going to change that one line. Kovalenko, Celebrini, and Toffoli, because they look great.
Really good, don't they? And they have a nice complement of skills with each other. I love Kovalenko and how he, as Mike Greer told us, how he plays inside, how he gets to pucks, how he supports. He supports the puck really well and does a great job along the boards. And he's tenacious as his HE double hockey sticks. I mean, this guy doesn't mind, even though he's not that big. Macklin, we know his skill level is only getting better and better and better. It's amazing how good he is. And give Tyler Toffoli the puck around the net, it's going in. So, yeah, that's a great complement of individuals with each other.
Looks like Henry Thrun is going to get back in the lineup, and that would mean he'd probably play with Shakir Mukhamadulin. A little bit of a look at the future here against a challenging team like Colorado, and I think that I'm intrigued by that pair, as it looks like Tim Liljegren is probably going to be out.
Yeah, which is interesting to me because I really like Liljegren and the way he's played. I like the fact that he transports the puck. I like the fact that he can skate the puck out of trouble. Henry Thrun needs, and Shakir, they need to be like this. They got to start moving quicker. I like Shakir, and he's kind of an even keel guy, kind of like, yeah, I got this, man, no problem. He's kind of cool, and, you know, he gets things done, but I want to see it quicker from Henry and quicker from Shakir.
Need that tonight against the Colorado Avalanche team. It lost 3-1 at Vancouver on Monday. They're in the middle of a string of several games in a row against the Pacific Division. We're on the air at 7 o'clock tonight on the Sharks Audio Network with Jamal Mayers joining me. And a couple of other interesting notes about Colorado before we sign off. They're good at holding a lead. They're 13-0 when leading after the second period. But how about this power play number? 0 for their last 14 in the last five games, 1 for 19. You don't want those guys to wake up at all. Those are the thoughts as we end our morning skate show today.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.